Supremes. Good morning, Diana Ross in particular. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Thank you. And along with my buddy and my partner and my friend, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, February the 4th already. Wow. We got a lot going on in the show today. We will be talking in a few minutes with Kelly Vlahos of the Quincy Institute. And we're going to talk about why the Biden administration has decided to send 3,000 troops to Eastern Europe. What's that going to do? Is it empty posturing? We're going to talk with her about that. Stay tuned for it. And speaking of Biden, has he got it right about fighting crime in the U.S.? You know, he did a photo op in New York City yesterday, got the mayor and the governor. But what's been the Democrats' answer to rampant city crime? What has it been? We're going to get some thoughts on this from our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, a little bit later on in the show. Stay tuned for that. And Sarah Palin, remember her? She is suing the New York Times for slander. Do you remember the gun sites article they wrote about her targeting people with a gun? We're going to take a look at her case, find out if she's got any chance in that. So stay tuned for that as well. And then our ultimate top 10, ESPN has come out with a comprehensive list of the greatest baseball players of all time. We're going to give you the top 10 of them. So stay tuned for that as well. Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. It's the best haircut, guys, in Tampa Bay, for my money. Andrew's Master Barbershop, 727-733-3773. Well, we got a lot going on. One of the things that's going on is we came out with the latest job growth numbers, and they are terrific numbers. 467,000 jobs added in January. That is well past expectations, even with Omicron. In fact, the administration is caught surprisingly on their heels. They didn't think it was going to be that good. The Labor Department said in its monthly payroll report, which was released today, the payrolls in January went up to 467,000. Now, you know what they were forecasting, like 150,000. This is like almost, it's three times the number. The unemployment rate clicked up slightly to 4%. That's not really that bad. We still have inflation. That's what's killing us right now. People's job, the salaries of people, what they're getting paid is higher. It has risen, but it has not kept up with inflation. And that's going to be the big boo-boo. So anyway, it's good news. Biden is going to go on the air a little bit later today, and you know darn well he's going to tout that number, 467. He'll try and take credit for it. Now, we're going to talk about this with Kelly Vlahos a little bit later. The United States has intelligence that Russia is going to fabricate a pretext for invading the Ukraine. A pretext. The Washington Post yesterday first reported that Russia has developed a plan to create a pretext for an invasion by falsely pinning an attack on Ukrainian forces. They're going to use actors and the whole bit. Can you imagine being that villainous that you would do that to start a war? Can you imagine that? Here's a Pentagon spokesman. He said, "We do have information that the Russians are likely to want to fabricate a pretext, which again is right out of their playbook. They want to stage a fake attack by Ukrainian military or intelligence forces against Russian sovereign territory or against Russian-speaking people to therefore justify their entry into the Ukraine. We believe Russia would produce a very graphic propaganda video. It would include corpses and actors that would be depicting mourners and images of destroyed locations as well as military equipment at the hands of the Ukraine or the West. That's pretty scary, isn't it, that they would do something that bad? Really scary that Putin and the group would organize something like that. This is going to be something we're going to talk with Kelly Vlahos on. I'm wondering, are we really getting a little bit closer to an all-out situation in Europe? I don't think it's not going to be that easy for Putin. If he thinks he's just going to wander into the Ukraine without the Ukrainians fighting back, I think he's got another thing coming. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to specifically discuss why are we sending about 3,000 troops to Eastern Europe? What is that going to do? We'll talk with Kelly Vlahos.
Talk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it
good to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a hat on 30.
Hey, we are back. Thank you so very much for joining us. And we are delighted to have back Kelly Vlahos, who is a senior advisor at the Quincy Institute. She is also the editorial director of Responsible Statecraft. And we're going to talk with Kelly about something that's very scary right now, that situation in the Ukraine. The U.S. is sending about 3,000 troops to Eastern Europe. And what is the purpose? Kelly, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, so what is going on here? Your colleague, Anatole Levin, says the move by the United States and Biden should be seen as empty posturing on the part of both the USA and NATO. And the main thing is that they would then offer to withdraw these troops if Russia would withdraw its forces from the border. Is that what you think is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with my colleague, who is a lot smarter than I am on this topic. But if you think about 3,000 troops, when we all know that Russia has 100,000 or more amassed on the border, plus equipment, they're kind of entrenched in that area for the long haul, and we think we're going to threaten them with 3,000 troops. And if you think about it, I mean, in terms of the NATO manpower, you know, they don't have a lot out there. So I can't see how... how Putin would be intimidated by this. I see him as being in the catbird seat right now.
Yeah, it would seem to me you're right. He is gambling, I think, on the fact that under the leadership of the United States at this time, we might not have ever been, let's say, weaker in our resolve. We've got a guy in the White House right now, let's be honest. He doesn't seem like the threatening type. Whereas when Trump was the president, you didn't hear about this kind of situation with maneuvering to the Ukrainian border by Putin when Trump was there. I think Putin was genuinely worried that if he had tried to pull a trick like that with Trump in the White House, that Trump would have responded. Your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, in part, I do agree with you that things have gotten obviously much more tense, and the buildup has been much bigger since April, which would be the beginnings of the Biden administration. But you have to remember that the Russians have had, they've been fighting in the Donbas region against Ukrainians since 2014 when they took Crimea and there was a revolution in Kiev. But this has been an issue in which they've had troops stationed at the border all this time. So this isn't something that's new that just began under the Biden administration. You know, for all of Trump's faults, he wanted to have more open relations with Russia. So it wasn't as tense. He didn't see Putin as the adversary, as the, you know, Dr. Evil that the Democrats have made him out to be. And unfortunately, because the Democrats went so hard against Trump and making him out to have been colluding with the Russians to win the 2016 elections, he has to sort of tamp down his initial overtures for some sort of détente with Russia at the beginning. And so I don't think they had the best relationship at the end. But at least we weren't in a situation where we're talking about actual war with Russia like we are now. And well, that's the last thing that this country wants.
We know that Americans do not want our involvement in this. And I don't think Biden is going to involve our troops directly in this thing. What is his point of sending 3,000 troops, though? What do you think?
You know what? I mean, I've been asked this before, and it's hard to get in the head of this man. But I think a lot of it is domestic consumption. He wants to look like he's tough, and he's showing strength. He has a lot of folks on Capitol Hill right now, the hawks on the Republican side, the hawks on the Democratic side, who want him to look tough, and, you know, breathing down his neck. And, you know, Democrats are so nervous historically about looking soft on national security. So I feel like this, in part, is performative. It's to show, hey, I'm showing strength. I'm not going to back down. Because we all know, like you said, he has no plans to actually go to war with Russia, or at least involve our own troops. So why announce a 3,000 other than being a performative show? But as my colleague Anna Tolleben says, you know, it's empty, and Russia knows that. So I don't know.
I
don't know how much bang out of that buck he got.
We're talking, excuse me, with Kelly Vlaho. She is a senior advisor at the Quincy Institute and editorial director of Responsible Statecraft. And we're trying to Monday morning quarterbacking. I guess that's not the case here, Kelly. We're hopping on this thing like some sort of interested observer and trying to figure out how this should be handled. One of the things that we have, apparently, as a tool is the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, something that Biden signed off on. I still haven't figured it out, allowing Russia to sell and send oil to Germany, which, of course, weakens Germany's resolve on this whole thing. And Germany is a prime member of NATO. But apparently we are threatening to stop the flow of oil with the pipeline. To me, that would be something that would scare Putin. He needs to sell that oil to Germany. Some people are saying we ought to do that now, and say we'll turn it back on once you withdraw your troops. What is your thought on that?
Right, but then he can turn off all of the flow of natural gas to Europe. So, I mean, he can retaliate just as easily, and that's why some of our
and then we'll sell them. We'll sell Europe the gas. but I mean, seriously, we can. I don't think he would want to do that, knowing that there are other options for Europe, right?
Right, but then there's other options for him too, and that's called China. So I feel like I think that's a no go. I think that's why you see German Chancellor Scholz has been very reticent at of joining our strategy of sanctions, of sending any troops, of sending any weapons. You know, he and France to a certain extent and other partners. You know, everybody kind of assumes that the whole NATO partnership is in lockstep, and they're not. You know, it's U.S., Poland, U.K., against, the rest of Western Europe is just not on board with this. Do they see Putin as a threat? Yes. But do they see him as so much of a threat that they have to send troops, that they have to risk, the energy prices going up, risk the trade partnerships that they have with Russia? No. So I think while the U.S. has made this as, good versus evil, you're with us or you're against us, there are so many other complexities here that involve relationships between Europe and Russia that most Americans just don't have a grasp of. They just think it's cut and dry.
Well, then it sounds like, why doesn't, then Putin's just going to waltz in? Why, if everybody is feeling this way, they have mixed feelings, he's going to waltz in.
Well, the question is, and, again, my colleague is much smarter than me on this. The question is if that what he really wants? Or is he looking just for what he said, a month ago? He wants an assurance that we are not going to expand NATO into his backyard, that we're not going to put nuclear weapons in his backyard, we're not going to continue military exercises in his backyard. It's like, if that's what he wants, let's take it from there and keep the pockets open and find ways that we can compromise. Now, I'm not in Putin's head. Others might be right. Maybe he just does want to waltz in.
Well,
but there are other cooler heads that are saying, no, there's something else going on here, and he's using that threat as leverage to get other things.
Before you came on the air, we talked about his, they're calling it the Ukraine false flag as a pretext for the invasion. That Russia is actually hiring actors and planning to stage a fake attack by the Ukrainian military into Russia, across the border into Russia, as a pretext for their invading the Ukraine. Well, if that's the case and they're setting something like that up with actors, it sounds like they really are serious about invading the Ukraine. Now, if they do invade the Ukrainians are going to fight back, a lot of them. And it's going to turn into a conflict. They're not going to waltz in like Hitler did in France and wander down the Champs-Élysées, without a shot being fired, or like right. He did in Czechoslovakia and Poland. They're going to fight. Is that what do you think Putin is ready for that?
I don't think that they have any. Putin has any plans to go all the way to Kiev. And that's where he would have the biggest problem. I think if we're talking about the eastern part of the country, where you have a huge Russian contingency there, where all that fighting is going on already, because you do have an ethnic affinity there of Russians, that, I think that's as far as he's going to go, if he's going to go.
In other words...
But it's still going to be a fight, because they've been fighting since 2014.
Well, they've already got the Crimea. Already got the Crimea. So is he going to wander over that area up to that river or wherever it is? There's a line of demarcation marked by a river somewhere in the Ukraine. And they're saying that that river is probably a very interesting point that Putin would want to take you know, kind of
right.
capture.
So they feel that it is Russian. And, I mean, that seems to be the general feeling that that's where he would go. But on this, this whole story about the fake video, the fake attack on Russians that would spark, you know, enough ire to get into a war, you know, I want to see some proof, because I feel like we've been lied to before by the U.S. government. Well, we have.
That's
for,
true.
You know, 80 years. So I feel like genuine skepticism when I hear these stories. I just want to see more evidence of this. You know, as you remember, there was a story, you know, while Trump was still president before the last election, that the Russians were paying bounties to the Taliban to kill our soldiers in Afghanistan. And, you know, Washington went wild over these reports. I mean, how dare, and this fed right into the narrative that the Democrats had already been pushing, that the Russians were evil and needed to be stopped. And guess what? The Pentagon quietly, months later, said we don't have enough evidence to even back that up.
Yeah. I don't know.
That didn't really get reported because, you know, the initial wow factor, you know, was more important than actually getting to the actual evidence. So I'm a little skeptical.
It's wow, this would... convenient. Can you imagine the United States government actually coming up with something like this? Would they stoop to that level? I guess there are people that really believe it based on what you just said, and I don't blame them. I don't think they would. I think there's some truth to this. I really do. I think there is some truth to this. Here's the question. We're in February. They were saying that if Putin was going to invade, it was going to be this month. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that he would not have done this if Trump had won. I just don't think it would have occurred. I may be wrong, but I think he sees a very weak and feckless president. And as much as NATO hated Trump, I think Trump would have rallied NATO countries against Putin and an invasion of Ukraine. Go ahead.
I almost feel like, you know, all that there are different dynamics at play here because, okay, let's just say that Putin is looking for the best time to invade or to build up and get concessions, whatever. You know, we're the world is in the middle of a pandemic. You know, we have a president who's dealing with not only a pandemic, but inflation, a deeply divided political electorate. And so it's almost like, okay, if you're looking at the best time, whenever the whole world is distracted and weak, you know, this would be the best time.
True. You're right about that. There is a confluence of events going on that are contributing to this. No
right.
question
and
about
I
it.
I agree. And I agree with you that, you know, so the Democrats are in the White House. The Democrats have been the ones that we spent the last 4 years demonizing the Russians. They are no friend of Putin, you know. So it's almost like, well,
yeah, they tried to align Trump with Putin. They tried to align him all that time. They went beyond crazy to try to align.
They went beyond
Donald Trump.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And if you remember when Biden came into office, his first foreign policy speech. He pretty much outlined China and Russia as the authoritarian threats of our time. So basically, it was Biden who basically, you know, threw, you know, who launched the first, you know, whatever you call it, across the ball.
Yeah, first grenade across on. Hey, let me ask you this, Kelly, and I've appreciated you staying with me on this. We've just started the Olympics in China. And, you know, here's another thing with China. Now, is Putin going to, I don't think Putin's going to do any invasion while the Olympics are going on. Maybe wrong. But do you think once the Olympics end, maybe that's more of an opportune time? How might the Olympics in China play into this, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've read not only about Russia, but North Korea as well, that likely nothing major is going to happen because of the Olympics. Because North Korea doesn't want to piss off Beijing by, they've been launching these missile tests but that's about as far as they're going to go until the Olympics are over. I've read that analysis, and I agree somewhat with what you just suggested with Russia, because, I mean, nobody wants to be seen, if both sides need Xi behind them as a support, they're not going to mess up his big PR, victory or whatever.
Yeah, his big moment in the sun. He doesn't want it darkened by some invasion in Ukraine.
Right.
Yeah. How interesting it is, Kelly. Thank you so very much. Look forward to talking with you again on this subject or other topics as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you. All right. Kelly Vlahos. Going to take our break. And when we come back, has Biden got it right about fighting crime in America? He did a photo op, didn't he, in New York yesterday? But what's been the Democrats' answer to rampant city trouble and violence? We're going to get some thoughts on this and others from our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Coming January 31st on Tan Talk.
I'm the king, Jim Leyland.
I'm the cop, Tommy Setner.
We had to beat the bad guy. We had to win. Man, there was nothing better.
And I'm the host, Mike Straka.
Who's this sweet-talking guy right here?
What are they talking about?
The King and the Cop with Mike Straka.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. You know, our temperatures have returned to normal here, haven't they, Ed? It's been like a normal Florida weather again. We had it pretty cold there.
Wait a week.
You think we're going to get hit again, huh?
Wait a week. Highs next week, I'm barely going to hit 60.
Really?
I know that's a shame, but, you know.
No, I don't mind. You know. I kind of like the change, so.
Mid-40s, high 60. Mid-40s, low to mid-60s during next week, starting on Tuesday, I believe it is.
Okay. All right, very interesting. Well, we got a guy with us who I think he would welcome those kinds of temperatures. He's our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. And Angelo, I want to talk to you about this photo op, I call it, that Biden had yesterday in New York, your state. He had the attorney general with him, Merrick Garland. He had the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams. He had the governor, Kathy Hochul, all over there. Talking about crime. Now, let's be honest. All these Democratic-run cities with that black-on-black crime that goes on generation after generation, and they haven't come up with one new idea. So how is this going to change?
Well, it's not. You see, the Democrats have been wanting to do away with the Second Amendment to the Constitution. So they'll, you see, gun violence, this and that, rile up the public about, against guns. And it has nothing to do with the guns. It has to do with the laws that they enact. No bail, no cash bail, put them back out on the street, try to rehabilitate the criminals. You know, I mean, we've had 14-year-old kids up here in Rochester carjacking. They stabbed a lady, carjacked her,
terrible.
Her car.
Absolutely terrible.
And then they come up with saying, well, you know, it's the racist society that brings them now to do this and do that. That's a bunch of baloney.
But here's the thing. Every major city in this country, inside the city, it's the exact same thing. The numbers may change a little bit, but it's the exact same thing. You have young black males that are out killing other people. Young black males that are out stealing cars. robbing people. All of these crimes are being committed by young black males. Now, why? Why is it that every single place in this country is the same scenario, that young black males are out doing this in the inner city and they have violent crime? Okay. There's got to be a reason. And the reason...
Number one...
Well, here, let me finish my thought.
Go ahead.
The reason is they are growing up in families without fathers.
Absolutely.
That's the reason.
I'll tell you that.
And why are they growing up with... Why are black families broken up like that, much higher in percentages than any other ethnic group? Why? Because they have been given funding from the government for single family parents based on the number of children that are in that household. That encourages additional families without two parents, in my opinion. It starts with handing out money to families that encourages that kind of behavior. Go ahead. I'm sorry, but I wanted to get that in.
No, I agree with you 100%. They're destroying the nuclear family. That's the whole Democratic thing. I mean, look what you got. You got them breaking up families. You got they're trying to put laws on the books where transgenders can compete in female sports, male transitions,
right?
And females into the males. I mean, they're just, it's not just having no two.
But those are outliers. If you took the total number of single family households, the percentage of those that are black single family households are much higher than the actual population of black people in relation to other races in this country. Isn't that true?
Right. No, you're
it's the single family household where black men are raised without a father figure, a disciplinary situation in the house, a responsibility gene is gone, and that's, I think, it's happening in every major city in this country.
It is.
It's got to be something that's ongoing that's the same. And the only thing I can think of is that we have roped together black families, single-parent families, and fed them revenue, food stamps, whatever you want to call it, which encourages that lifestyle. Pull that stuff away, and you'll see how quickly, in my opinion, how quickly all of a sudden fathers will come back into the families.
Right, and then also the selling of drugs, too. They can make more money selling drugs rather than going out and get a job. Just like the government paid people to stay home rather than go to work.
Correct. It's a federal involvement.
Right,
throwing money at
philosophy.
Yeah, but throwing money at anything ruins it. That's to me, the thing. It ruins the self responsibility that people would have. Your sense of, first of all, if you're going to father children, don't you have a responsibility to raise those children, to protect those children,
absolutely,
to educate those children, to make them responsible?
Right? Why? Hey, you got to ask that question. Why do they take off?
They take off because they know that the mothers will get funding from the federal government for each child, so they don't have to sit around. They don't want to sit around and be a part of a nuclear family, because they want these people want to get that extra funding, from the government. It's free money.
It's free money, right?
So that's why I think that's occurring.
Then they go and blame the guns.
Well, here,
another thing that Democrats want to do. They want to do away with the Second Amendment.
But think about it. Before we had welfare for families, mm-hmm. going back into the 50s and 40s and 30s, the black nuclear family was great. They had a much higher percentage of married couples with their kids. and the responsibility, and you didn't have the kind of crime you had after the federal government became involved in, you know, it's sort of a, you know, reparation kind of an attitude. It's a reparation kind of an attitude. We, you know, the Civil War, slavery, so we started funding them. We started figuring out ways to fund them. Right. And that's when all of this that's when the irresponsibility occurred in the black nuclear family.
Well, now they want to give them reparations too. They want to give them
exactly. It's the worst thing you can do.
Now they want to give them guaranteed income.
You've got to teach personal responsibility until we get back to the concept that made our country what it became, which was individual freedom and responsibility. We're never going to achieve what we consider to be the American dream.
Well, this is what the whole gist of the socialism Democrats are.
Right.
This is what they're pushing, and slowly but surely they're accomplishing what they're set out to do. I mean,
you're right.
Look at it today. Well, what do we got going today? Crime, inflation, everything. This whole country in 1 year's time has gone downhill. In 1 year's time.
Hey, by the way, on a completely different subject.
Yes.
I'm watching CNN implode with their CEO resigning, and it's connected to the governor of New York in a certain way. Did you see how the trail leads to former Governor Andrew Cuomo?
Yes, and not only that. The guy's girlfriend there, she was an aide, I think.
That's what I'm talking about. That's where the connection is. She worked for Cuomo.
For Fredo.
For Fredo, too. So we got New York involved in helping implode CNN.
Well, I think Fredo...
I'm blaming you personally, by the way, Angelo. I think you had something to do with it. Because you're Italian. Go ahead.
You make the look bad.
Oh, God.
They'll call him Fredo for nothing.
So he gets canned, and then he comes back, and apparently, did he threaten Zucker? Zucker was the guy running CNN.
Right.
And it was an open secret that Zucker was running around with this marketing head at CNN. Everybody knew it. That wasn't a big deal, really.
No,
right?
they're using that as...
But that wasn't the reason.
Else.
Yeah.
That's all that is. There's more stuff going on than the MCI. I mean, I'm sure Fredo had something to do with it.
Fredo.
And I'm sure the governor, the former governor, must have had something to do with it.
Oh, God.
Because these guys, they're bitter. I mean... They must have made CNN an offer they couldn't refuse.
Apparently. What an intrigue. Do you think CNN will all of a sudden, now their parent company is going to send a trio of people to run things for a while? I'm wondering, do you think that CNN will change its stripes and become conservative?
You know, it was like that in the beginning, but since this guy Zucker took over, it changed. Wasn't he CEO of Disney before?
Yeah, he probably was. I don't know for sure. I forget what he was. But you remember Ted Turner ran the whole thing.
Right, he started
the whole thing, and he tended to be a liberal. Remember he was linked to Jane Fonda? They were married for a while.
Yeah.
All of that.
Very much liberal.
I mean, at first it was like headline news, and, you know, you had the headline news station, and then they opened up the opinion and talk side, which has become what CNN is now, I guess. But it always tended to be a little bit liberal even at that point. But I'm just wondering now if they're looking and going, my God, our numbers have been in the toilet anyway. Why don't we try to become conservative?
I know. Well, you got Hanoi Jane, right? She was a...
Good old Hanoi Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda.
Right.
She went to North Vietnam while we're out there fighting.
That's right. Forever becoming... Probably the most hated actress in the history of Hollywood.
Yeah. She. I don't know how true this is. Some of the prisoners handed her notes to bring back, and she handed it over to the North Vietnamese and to the Viet Cong.
Yeah, there was some talk about that as well.
You know,
I think she was very misguided.
They were pretty liberal, those two.
Oh, God, yeah.
And,
Yeah.
And they're the ones that were spreading a lot of rumors about Trump with collusion to Russia and this and that.
You talk about CNN.
And
Zucker. Well, Zucker hated Trump, and Trump hated Zucker. That's gone back for years.
And so does Bezos, too. He hates Trump. Trump hates him.
The guy from Amazon.
The guy from Amazon.
Yeah. Trump has made a lot of enemies. We have to be honest about Trump. He's made a lot of enemies.
Yeah, he did. But you know what?
What?
He made enemies on the right people. These guys were liberals, and they were taking this country down the road, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I still believe that Trump was the right person at the time to be president. I guess he wants to run again. And if he does, I'll still vote for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like he does want to run again. Boy, that'll be quite the scenario. It'll be a question of whether or not the rest of the Republican Party wants him to run again, though.
I know.
You know?
Well, you know, they didn't stand behind him to begin with in the beginning.
Right.
You know?
Right. Because they didn't see him as a Republican or a conservative. Let's be honest.
They did not see him as that.
No, because he had been a liberal in many ways. He had been a Democrat. He had been involved with Hillary Clinton. He had gone to a wedding, or she went to his wedding of somebody or other, one of his marriages, you know. So there was Trump was never originally seen as, you know, he was more like a social liberal in many ways.
He was an outsider.
He was an outsider.
Didn't like that.
Yeah.
Washington does not like an outsider taking, you know, becoming president.
Yeah.
They got their entrenched families that want to take control of the country. It's the certain people that's in the swamp, so to speak, that want to keep running the country.
Yeah.
And it's always the same people. If you take a look at, like, cabinet posts.
Oh, yeah.
Different families, same families, sure, always running it.
That's very true. They want to keep it within their own families.
They want to keep it within their own family.
Yeah, right about that. All right, Angelo. Thank you, my friend. We really appreciate your coming on today and talking about this. And we'll be talking with you again, I hope, this Monday.
Monday.
Indeed. All right, sir.
You guys stay warm down there. I'll take those 60-degree temps.
Yeah, I imagine. Well, but let's hope that you get some of that stuff real soon.
Well, right now we got 17 degrees. We had 14 inches of snow. The last couple of days.
Get out there and snow your doggone driveway. Don't be talking to me. You got work to do.
I got some work to do.
Thanks a lot, Angelo.
Take care. Have a good week.
All right, you too. Oh, my God. Ed, you're from New York. That's pretty cold, isn't it? 16 degrees?
Ooh. No, people dress for it up there.
Yeah.
They dress for it.
That's kind of a snow belt where he is, too, you know.
You know what I've always wanted to do?
What?
I've always wanted to run a snowblower.
What do you mean, run a snowblower?
You know.
You've never run a snowblower?
No, I never have.
Oh, my God.
I've shoveled snow as a kid.
Yeah.
But I've never gotten a chance to get one of the big things that shoots out the snow 50 feet.
It's kind of fun. Yeah, I've done it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, in Chicago we had one. Although my snowblower, it drove me nuts. I don't want to get into it, but it would always die on me. It was the worst thing. I should have just thrown it in the junk and used the shovel.
I keep asking one for Christmas, but nobody ever gives me one.
You're not going to get one down here, my friend. You're not going to find
probably
one.
Probably cheap.
Very cheap. All right, let's take our final break. And among other things, we'll come back and tell you the top 10 greatest baseball players of all time.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we always want to remind you that we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great, great Tantalk Radio Network. So please join us live. However, thanks to Big Ed, we got all our shows on podcast, and you can listen to us anytime you want. Go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. And at the top of that glorious page, you'll see the word podcast. Click on it, and there you go. You'll see all our recent shows. You'll know the guest and the top 10, the whole bit. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay. Well, Sarah Palin, remember her, former Alaska governor, ran for the vice presidential nomination in 2008, went to trial against the New York Times yesterday in a defamation case that could test longstanding protections for the newspaper and American media. She is suing over an editorial that the Times ran in 2017, incorrectly linking her political rhetoric to a 2011 Arizona mass shooting, a shooting that left six dead and U.S. Congressman Kathy Giffords, a Democrat, seriously wounded. You remember that, Ed?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, and you remember there were the little gun sights that she had on an ad, and they immediately tried to connect her to gun violence, and that was the thing that went on. Now, the Times lawyer, David Axelrod, by the way, he was in the Bill Clinton administration, is defending the New York Times, and he said the editorial that she is talking about was trying to hold both Democrats and Republicans responsible for inflammatory rhetoric. And then he said the newspaper acted quickly as possible to correct the gun sight charge that they had made about Sarah Palin's ad. Now, Palin's got to offer clear and convincing evidence that the Times acted with actual malice or knew that what they were saying was false, and recklessly knew that what they were saying was false. They call it reckless disregard for the truth. And in this case, this is what she is charging. She is seeking unspecified damages for alleged harm to her reputation. Well, good luck with that one. It's always hard, always hard to go against the media. All right, Ed, it is time for our top 10. And we got a good one, and I'm going to see if you know who it is that is considered, after all of this extensive data was done, if I can find it here, the top 10 greatest baseball players of all time. Now, ESPN used dozens of writers and editors, and they submitted more than 20,000 votes to come up with the top 10.
By the way, that one major league pitcher you and I were talking about before the show, Roger Clemens.
Yes. Roger Clemens is not going to go into the Hall of Fame. He had his last chance. And so did
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds. Yeah. That's another one. Mm-hmm. Let's find out if they're on the list, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Number 10. Get on the drums. Ed forgot to get on the drum. Number 10 is Stan Musial. Stan the man Musial. St. Louis Cardinals. He was a player from 1941 to 1963. He played left field, right field, and first base, one of the greatest hitters of all time. Number 9, Walter Johnson. They called him the Big Train. He was pitched for the Washington Senators from 1907 to 1927. And he had a fantastic earned run average, and he had 417 wins. Number 8, here's your buddy, Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds is number 8. He played for the Pirates from 86 to 92 and the Giants from 93 to 2007. Remember how skinny he was when he started and how big he got?
Well, players do that.
Well,
I know,
it.
But players can do that with hitting the weight room. But it was his head.
Oh my God!
It was his head was enormous,
and his neck. It looked like a bull.
Yeah,
he looked like a bull. Number 7, Mickey Mantle.
Yeah,
Mickey Mantle. He played for the New York Yankees from 1951 to 1968. He had 536 home runs. Number 6, Lou Gehrig. Again, a Yankee from 1923 to 1939. Set a record. They called him the Iron Man for the number of games he played consecutively. Number 5, a guy I met in a cab, Ted Williams.
Mm.
Maybe the greatest hitter of all time. Played for the Boston Red Sox from 39 to 42, and then again from 46 to 1960.
Did he get his head frozen?
No.
Oh.
He did not.
Okay.
That's he and Walt Disney never had that never okay. occurred. But you know what? His son was involved in an attempt to do some sort of a cryogenic thing on his body. That's true. Number 4. Ty Cobb, the most disliked, villainous baseball player of all time, also had an did you know that he retired with an average batting average of .433?
Mm.
That's how good a hitter he was. And he was a great base dealer. Number 3. Hank Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
All-time home run leader. Or did Barry Bonds come and surpass him? I can't remember.
Barry surpassed him, yeah.
Okay. Well, we know how great Hank Aaron was. Number 2. They called him the Say Hey Kid. Willie Mays. Number 2. Willie Mays played for the San Francisco Giants from 1951 to 1972. He also played for the Mets after that for a year. All right. Here we go.
Jeez, I don't know.
Got it. Do you really don't know?
I don't know. It's too hard now.
Come on, Ed. You got to give me a guess. Do you even want to try?
No, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was on Mickey Mantle, but go ahead.
Babe Ruth.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How could you not think that Babe Ruth might be a contender? You didn't hear Babe Ruth's name mentioned.
Right.
Babe Ruth was not only an all-star hitter, he was an all-star pitcher. Did you know that he is 94 wins and 46 losses and a 2.28 earned run average as a pitcher? But as a hitter, he had 714 home runs when there wasn't anybody even close to that.
What years were those?
He played from 1914 to 1935. He started with the Red Sox for 5 years. He then went to the Yankees for 14 and then with the Braves for 1 year.
Did you get his autograph when he was playing?
No. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, he walked right by me and he wouldn't even say a word to me. All right. Thanks. We'll be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.
The Phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? Force from the beginning.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.